This morning we're looking at life. Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're looking at life this morning. And therefore I want to read to you from Matthew's Gospel about not worrying about our lives. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable, much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire, and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thanks, Janet.
I feel this is a bit of deja vu. Yeah. Jesus, the way to the Father. Oh, we'll start at John chapter 14, beginning at verse 5. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're looking at life this morning, and after that we'll look at the way next week. But everyone, it appears, is searching for life. Not simply existence, not merely the stretch of years between birth and death, but a life that feels full, meaningful, rooted and hopeful. Full life. Humanity pours endless energy in trying to find this life through succession and success, possessions, health, experiences, relationships, identity and recognition. People who say, I'm finding myself, or I'm seeking to find myself. Jesus says, I am the life. Not, I offer life. Nor, I can improve your life. But, I am the life. Life is not a concept. It's not a lifestyle. It's not even a spiritual reward. Life is a person. And that person is Jesus. Jesus says he is the life. Again, like truth, singular, unique. Remember the picture we had last week of the underground, of the many routes that people think that they have to God. Well, so many people think they have different routes to life, but life in truth, life, is found in Jesus. It's singular, unique, not able to be copied, imitated, or faked. It's the word Zoe in Greek, so if any of you know anybody called Zoe, or have a middle name known Zoe, it means life. And not bios, which we get the word biology, not biological life, spiritual life, and life to the full. The word of life is repeated again and again. Life, life, life. Zoe, Zoe, Zoe. Completeness, wholeness, single-mindedness. These are the marks of life in Jesus. So what does it tell us? First of all, it tells us that it's life for yesterday. Jesus was and is the life. He brought life into every situation that he ministered to. When he found people who were living life that was less than perfect, when they were ill, unwell, poor, neglected, whatever it was, he brought life into every situation and ministered to it. He cured the lame, he caused the blind to see, he raised the dead. At the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, we read these words. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Wonderful words of a mission statement that Jesus had, that he came to do the great things of giving good news to the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus brought Zoe. Einstein said, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. The important thing is to not stop questioning." And we may well have questions in our life today and think to ourselves, what is the point? What is the situation when life is so full of lies and inconsistencies and so many secrets, but the wrong kind of secrets? C.S. Lewis said, "We have a God-shaped hole in our lives that nothing else can fill. We try to fill our lives with stuff," as Jesus said in that right reading from Matthew's Gospel. Nothing other than God quite fits into that hole. Like the last piece of a jigsaw, nothing else will do. And without the hole, without it, the whole is incomplete. Those of you who are fans of jigsaws will know what it's like when you come to an end of a jigsaw and the last piece is missing. It's very frustrating. Yes, you're laughing because you've done it. All of you have done it at one time or another. C.S. Lewis said, "We have this whole shape in our hearts which is missing, which is the part that God brings into our lives. Nothing else will do. Without it, the whole is complete." The whole, W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E, is incomplete. Jesus came back to life after being crucified. The tomb could not hold him. He is the first amongst the resurrected. How his body is, ours will be too. But more on that later. So Jesus was the life, as he preached, as he sought to bring life into the lives of the people in the first century AD, as he sought to bring people's life to the full. But then there's life for today too. Life for today. The kingdom of God is a means of life for today. The rule of God in the believer's heart. The rule of God in the world today. And we need the rule of God, don't we? When we look at the events of just this past week, where things have come to light, where secrets that were hidden have come to the forefront, and we think to ourselves, where is God in this? Where is God in this? Well, the kingdom of God is the means of life today. The rule of God in the believer's heart. The rule of God in the world today. The kingdom of God was established when Jesus came. Mark 1 verse 15, right at the beginning of the gospel, it says, "The time has come, he said, for the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The kingdom of God is life for the believer and life for the whole world. The kingdom of God is at hand, was said again and again by Jesus. Matthew 12 verse 8, it says, "But if by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So Jesus was initiating the kingdom of God. Now what is the kingdom of God? It's the rule of God in a person's life, in their heart. But also the rule of God in the world that is becoming more like Jesus' rule of life. Now we may think that the world is going to heck in a handbasket, but the fact is that Jesus says that the kingdom of God has been established, it is established, and it will be established. He ushered in this new way of life, this new Zoe, if you like. Kingdom life, what we experience today. Luke 9 verse 2 says, "And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal those who were ill." This was a sign that God's kingdom was breaking in, was that those who were ill and unwell and blind and lame were given freedom and new life. So the disciples were also ushers of the kingdom of God. In their ministry, when Jesus sent them out, they brought the kingdom of God into people's hearts. Luke 17, we read, "Once being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" You and I are the kingdom of God when we believe in Jesus. When we've given our lives to Jesus, the kingdom of God comes into our hearts and we are made complete. And it rules in our hearts today. It is Zoe for today. When you feel weary, and we all feel weary at times, he is your strength. When you feel empty, and again, we all feel empty at one time or another, it is Jesus that fills you. When you are lost, when you feel lost, he guides you. When you face sorrow, he comforts you. When the future is uncertain, he remains unchanging. No situation can remove the life of Christ that has been placed within you. No darkness can extinguish it. No enemy can steal it. He is life in you, life eternal, indestructible, and present right now and forever. Mark 9 verse 1 says, "And he said to them, 'Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power.'" So when Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of God and it started. But then the kingdom of God is also something for the future, life forever. "I have come," this was a verse we had as our verse of the year some years ago, John 10:10. "I have come that they may have life and life to the full, life eternal." I checked it, it's that word Zoe again. Jesus was saying that they may have complete life, not biological life, but spiritual life, wholeness, peace that guards your heart even in the storms. Joy that endures beyond circumstances. Sometimes we think that we have a difficult life because of the situation we find ourselves in, but the joy that endures in our heart is beyond our circumstances. It's not dependent on what we do and what we haven't done. It gives us purpose anchored in God's calling. It gives us freedom from the power of sin, hope that cannot be shaken. Jesus is not only the life we live now, he is the life that carries us beyond the grave. In John 11, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die." And again, it's that word Zoe, complete life. Not life that will end as we will do unless Jesus returns, that each one of us will have to face one day, but a life that is eternal and goes beyond the grave. For the believer, eternal life does not begin at death. It begins the moment Jesus becomes Lord of your heart. That is why Paul could say, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." And again, it's that word Zoe. Jesus brings life. Death is no longer a wall. In Christ, it becomes a doorway. Romans 8, verse 29, "For those he God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Amazing. We know little about eternal life, as I've quoted before, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him." But what we do know is that according to Scripture, we'll have a body like Jesus' when he was resurrected. He ate fish. He had physical contact. He could walk through a locked door. This is our future when we trust Christ for our future. We will have resurrected bodies, and a new life, a new Zoe, will begin for all of us. Because Jesus is the life. "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." With Christ, with Zoe, the Christ life that he brings, it's more than just existence. It's life for eternity. Because Jesus is the life. Let him breathe life into the dry places of your soul. Like the dry bones that we read about in Ezekiel, where he comes across a field and all these bones are spread out, some sort of battlefield probably. And God breathes life into it. Let him renew joy where hope has dimmed. Let him guide you when the path is unclear. Let him fill you with life that overflows to others. A life that is Zoe, not just bios. And may our church be a place where the life of Jesus is not only preached, but seen, felt, and shared. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us life. You have saved us from death and eternal death and given us eternal life. Father, there are times when we find it hard to believe, to comprehend, to grab hold of what that means. But we pray this morning, Lord, that as we go from here in a little while, that we might understand that you have given us life, and it's life eternal, life to the full. No longer are we scrabbling around for things to wear and food to eat, but instead we trust in your kingdom's power and your kingdom's glory. Lord, hear us in this prayer, we pray. Amen.